Holy Spirit, we recognize that you're here, you're in our hearts, you're in this place, you're always with us, you're always working, and you're for us, and you're teaching us, you're training us, you're empowering us, you're comforting us, you're doing everything. And we just acknowledge that. We acknowledge that the angels are here, and they're here to minister to us, and we are the force, as Jody was sharing, we are the force of light and love and power in the earth today. And we step up and we take that place and we take it with joy. And we've already won, so we're just figuring out how to walk it out. And we thank you now, Holy Spirit. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for teaching all of us. Help me. I feel like I'm in a spin. So, just do your thing, and we'll do ours in listening. Amen. So how fast can you change? As Jody was sharing, I was just thinking, when you were born into your mother's womb, you were giving a nature. You didn't really get to pick, as far as I know. I don't know if we have a communication with God before we're born. We might. I don't know. But anyway, when you're born, you are born with a nature. And we talk about like Irish and their tempers and all that kind of stuff. But all of us have just temperaments within ourselves. And many of those things are not like they're good or bad. They're just different. So many different attributes, but you're given a nature and given, character. It's not like it's all evil at all, but it also, when you're born in the flesh, you were born in sin. Bible says you were born in wrath. All of us are angry when we're born. That's why we get out and cry and scream. But that's just what the Bible says, from the fall of man. But then when you get born again, you get a brand new spirit man in the image of God. And that, you also receive a nature there that you didn't decide, that you didn't pick. I mean, he gives it to you. And that nature is perfect. It's blameless. It cannot sin. It will never sin. It will never go contrary to God. It will never be condemned. It'll always have the favor of God. You always have the heart of God. It's a perfect, as Jody was saying, you're in perfect communication with God in your spiritual man all the time. It's just given. It's a free gift. You're absolutely in right standing with you. In your spiritual man, you never have to come before God and wonder where, hey, are we okay? Are we doing okay? It's like, no, he's just openly listening to you. He's open, you're partners. You're actually one. We're actually in him. He's in us. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. That's one of our biggest challenges, is it's hard for us to believe that. And what we get really confused is that we got these two natures in us all the time. And if you don't learn and get wisdom on which one you're walking in or which one's manifesting, you can actually start condemning yourself, losing your confidence. It's like Jody said, when we walk into a place, we're the light and the salt of the earth, and we're the salvation of mankind. We are Jesus on the earth, and whether you believe in it at the time or walking in it, it's still what's happening. It's still, you're the power horse, you're the light of the world, period. Now, we can either, walk in that and really increase that by walking in it, or we can deny it, but it doesn't change the truth. Your presence makes a difference wherever you go. And man, there's times when I felt like I wasn't walking really good at it or whatever else. I had my mind, let's put it this way, I had my mind more on the flesh than I did the spirit. But at the same time, lives were changed because he lives inside of us. It's just the fact. And so you might as well take a deep breath and just say, man, I'm perfect. I am blameless. In my spiritual man, this is the way it is. Nothing you can do about it. And then just think, okay, but when there's things that can hinder that, there's things that can cause it to flow. So one of the things that I want to deal with today or just talk about is how do you change? How long does it take? Now, I go back to a time where a friend of mine was building, we were building houses, and somebody did something wrong on the job site, and the boss just grabbed his hammer out of his bag and just chucked that sucker. Anybody ever done anything out of anger? And as that thing is flying through the air, he goes, dang it. That's right towards the window. And he got it. You know, and just a few minutes later, he's a believer. He had another brother, a friend of ours that was a believer. And in a few minutes, he's down at the lumberyard, and he's joking and he's laughing. And the other, his employee that's a believer just said, how do you come? He said, if I would have thrown my hammer and broke a window, I would have been upset with myself for days. How did you just come out of that? And that's a good question, isn't it? Let me ask you, in your life, when you go the wrong way for a little while and then realize it, how long does it take you to come back to your confidence of your righteousness and your goodness and your power? How long does it take? In other words, how long do you have to sulk after you made a mistake? Now, I always laugh about this because in a relationship with a husband or wife, like if I mess up with Elisa, you know, and say something wrong or say something really breaks her heart or whatever else, it's like, I mean, I really think, okay, John, just forgive yourself, receive your forgiveness, and get back in the Spirit of God. And I think, but don't do it too soon or she's going to really be upset. You got to make it look like you're repentive, right? And, you know, and sometimes I just visualize this, and I think I've done it, but I just like, you know, bark at her in the morning and get in the shower and just start singing praises to God. And I thought, boy, that could really irritate your spouse. But is it worth it? It's worth it. I mean, you're going to have to ask her forgiveness for what you did wrong, but you might as well ask her to forgive you for being quick to get out of the flesh and into the Spirit. How long does it take? How long does it take to change an attitude? How long does it take to be transformed? How long does it take to be renewed? How long does it take to walk in the Spirit? Okay, in Galatians 5:16 says this, but I say walk in the Spirit and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, you got two natures, walk in one or walk in the other. And by the way, I think one of the things I did in my early life and still tend to do, and I think most people do, is when you walk in the flesh and it produces bad things, then you say, man, I'm never going to do that again. Anybody ever say, I'm never going to do that again? And then did it again? And I think I quit saying I'm never going to do that again. Because it's just like, then I'm disappointed when I do it again. And that just makes me feel bad again. I think a better thing to do is say, I am going to learn how to get out of the flesh and back into the Spirit quicker. I want to shorten the time period down. Man, I've watched couples that would get in an argument and get in discord, and some of them would take 3 months before they talked to each other. If you cut that down, look how much benefit that would be. So, walking in the Spirit, by the way, when you step into that spiritual man and you just simply believe it and you accept it as a gift and all that, that's the best way not to walk in the flesh. If you got your eyes on the flesh and you're thinking, I don't want to do that, I don't want to do that, I don't want to do that, you got your mind on it and you're going to do it. And sometimes you just got to get belligerent and just say, I've messed up. I thank God he's forgiven me. I hope the others can forgive me. But I am not without hesitation. I'm going to move right now in my full confidence that I'm a child of God. I'm perfect in all his ways. And I'm just going to start walking out, walking in love, and just let that happen. Glory to God. Don't leave me. Boy, sorry. In 2 Timothy 1:7, it says this, For God has not given us a spirit of timidity or fear, but of power and love and discipline. The word discipline there really is sound-mindedness. It's actually kind of controlled to self-control, or tied with self-control. Beautiful thing is, when you feel timid, when you feel condemned, when you feel any of those things, you know immediately that God has not given that to you. So that means who did give it to you? So it is of the evil one, but you have to accept it. And so first of all, this is a powerful verse. This is one I go to all the time. When I start getting nervous, I start getting, you know, I've had several crisis phone calls this week, people just having major issues in their family, and, you know, boy, it's easy to panic, whether it's health or whatever it is. And one of the things that I just keep this right before me all the time, God's not given me a spirit of timidity, of fear, anxiety, but of power. Man, I was talking to Chase about that, and it's kind of interesting. He said, I wonder how important it is that the power was there before the love. You got to have power in your life. And we have. So that says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he has given us a spirit of power. And he's given us a spirit of love, and then he's also given us a spirit of being sound-minded. If you take what I'm going to share today, I might not bring it up again, but people who are, we got a lot of mental illness in their world today. A lot of people say, man, we just don't have enough help in mental illness and all that. I agree. But let me tell you this. One thing about mental illness is when a thought comes to you that is wrong and you don't deal with it, it will start growing. And it's so much easier to pull a weed out when it first starts than it is to wait till that thing is 6 foot tall. And there's a lot of people that aren't dealing with these thoughts. And so, therefore, now they've got to a point where they are actually mentally ill, not capable of coming out of it because this thing has become a stronghold. So I'm going to, Ephesians 2:8 says this, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift." Say gift. It's a gift of God. It's a gift of God. Our heart intent, as you know, the Bible says that we look at the outward man, he looks at the heart, he looks at the heart intent, he looks at the motive of our hearts. It's a really big, 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 big thing. And sometimes our behavior or our action can be, I'll call it neutral. It's not good or it's not evil. It's just our behavior. It's just what we're doing right at that moment. The question is, what was the motive behind it? There are things that we can do that looked kind. Things pop into my head. I'm sorry. Things are popping in your head. And so if you don't hear everything I say, it's okay, because he's talking to you in your head and he's talking to me in my head. But one of the things we can do in business is what we call the Peter syndrome. You got somebody in your company that you need to fire, but it's just a real hassle to fire them. It'd be a big deal. And so one of the things that you can do is you can act like you're a good person, a good boss, and just promote them and promote them. And promote them and put them up in a place where either that, you know, and they don't have the capability of handling that. And so they either sink or swim. It's like, you know, but you didn't fire them, but you promoted them with so much responsibility and everything else that they finally say, I quit. I can't do this anymore or whatever. But they eliminate them. And so it's like, here's the action. It looks like it's a good thing, but the intent of it was not. Maybe not a good illustration, maybe it is, I don't know. But in your heart, in my heart, there are things that we do, and the intent of our heart is incredibly important on the outcome of where we stand with God and what we're getting done. So here's my point. Ephesians 2:9 says this, that we are saved by grace through faith, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we could walk in them. Sequence here. God created us in this spiritual brand new man, and he's prepared a path for us to do good things. Stuff. Lots of stuff. Have a huge impact on the world. Have a huge impact in our businesses. Have a huge impact in success in every area. He wants success for us in every area, and he wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to be powerful. He wants us to accomplish things. He wants us to get things done. He wants it to be awesome. He's a creator of good things. He wants us to bring forth good things into the earth in every one of us. He created us to do that. That's a great thing. If it's in the right sequence. If the intent is right. What am I talking about? I'm talking about when you do a good thing, but the intent is, well, it's the Christian thing to do. I guess, you know, I should do it. It's the right thing to do. Or, man, if I don't do this, I'll get in trouble. Or, well, I really want God to be in my life, so I better do what he wants me to do. I better give so that, you know, he take care of me. It's like, is it right to give? Yeah, it's our nature. Our brand new nature is just like God's. We're extremely generous. Every time I walk out of a restaurant, I go, man, did I overdo it again? It's just fun to be generous. It's fun when, anyway, but at the same time, if you do that because, I want to be right with God, and I know I've not been doing all that well, it's not right. There's a scripture, I'm going to switch around, Chase, but Romans 14, 23. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith. And whatever is not from faith is sin. Isn't that a powerful statement? Whatever is not of faith is sin. Whatever is not of persuasion about God's goodness, whatever it is, it's missing the mark. Sin means that you're not participating in the blessing. You're not participating in the inheritance. You're not participating in that spirit of love, power, and sound-mindedness. It's not just doing something wrong. It's missing what you're created to do. You're not hitting the mark of being this incredible, powerful, loving person that actually is changing the universe around them. And so whatever is not of faith is missing the mark. How important is what we believe? So let's just say I'm doing something, but I'm doing a good deed. I'm doing something right. But my heart intent is, well, I don't want God mad at me. And I want to be a good Christian. I'm telling you, that's not of faith, and it's missing the mark. You know how sometimes you can hear this come out of people's mind. They'll say it this way. Man, God, I did everything right, and it's still not working. What does that mean? It means that you're thinking if you do everything right, everything will work right. If you do the right thing, pray the right way, read the Bible, all that, then everything will be good with you. That's not the way it is. Your righteousness and your prosperity and every good thing that God has for you has to be received through his grace by faith. It has to be a free gift to you. If it's not a free gift to you, it is not grace. It is not his power. It is not him manifesting in your life. Everything else can look right, but if that motive is, this gets me in better condition with the Lord, then it is not a, you've just canceled out the free gift of righteousness. How, if you're doing that, how long does it take to get your sequence in the right order? Let's say I'm trying to think of something here. What if I'm just really kind to somebody, but I'm basically doing it because if they're happy with me, I'm going to get a blessing. I'm going to, you know, get favor with them, rather than just do it because it's the right thing to do to love somebody. And the Lord reveals to you that your motive is wrong. Or he reveals to you that you're now doing these good deeds, these good works, but you're doing it because you're trying to make God happy, and you don't think he's happy unless you do it right. How long does it take you to switch that? Here's what I'm trying to say. It'll be done to you according to your faith. The time period will be done according to your faith, according to what you're persuaded. If you're persuaded that when you've done something really wrong, that you've got to sulk in it, put sackcloth and ashes on, and show everybody you're repentive, and show God you're really sorry about it all, and you know, then how, if you want to do that for a day, you want to do that for a month. You know, I just thought about this as a teenager. I knew God. I walked with God. But I had a flesh. It was kind of getting strong in me. God bless us that we don't have to go through teenage years twice, is all I can say. But I remember coming home, laying in my bed, and realizing, man, that was wrong. John, you didn't use self-control. You didn't. And this is what this maybe you didn't do this. I don't know. I did. I would make up some rules now. Literally, I would say, well, I messed up, so I've got to kind of, I don't know how you'd say it, but I kind of got to just stay humble. And basically, I'm saying I've got to mope around for, because I messed up this day, I've got to mope around for 2 days. Well, then the next day I did two or three things wrong, and then I would add to my calendar, now you've got 10 days added up. Within a short time, I had a month. I don't know if you're catching what I'm saying, but I was creating my own belief system of how to punish myself so that I would start doing the right thing. And that was so wrong. Because if in your heart, in your faith, you know this, I just messed up. Bam, I just walked in the flesh. I don't know. I think you need examples, but hopefully you got your own. But, you know, one of the reasons I never give anybody the bird or whatever you want to call that, the one-finger wave, is because I'm just sure as the world that if I did that, they'd be coming to church the next Sunday, and I'd have to say, oh, I think I remember seeing you someplace. I did that once. We were headed to Kansas, and I was going to go to Mr. Donuts. Was that it? That man's been gone for a long time. And I was going to pick up some donuts. It was like 4:30 in the morning going through Rapid City. Nobody was around. All of a sudden, I move into a lane, didn't look, and I cut somebody off, or they cut me off. I can't remember who did what. But I remember we honked at each other and gave each other the look. And then I was following, and then I was following them, and they went into the donut shop. And I looked at my wife and said, do we really want donuts? I don't want to go in there. Sure enough, they went in there. Anyway, we met in the hallway, and it was pretty, because I thought, well, maybe they didn't really recognize, maybe they didn't see me, but sure enough, we looked at each other, and I just go, I'm sorry. And they go, me too. Turned out okay. How long is it going to take? And I say, you know what a right answer is? Less than a second. Less than a second. You're not going to get to where you never mess up, okay? But you can get to where you've trained yourself that when you mess up and you, as soon as you recognize it, like that, you can switch over and walk in the Spirit. Leave all the condemnation. Leave all the guilt. You may have some consequences. Others may be mad at you. You may have to go to jail, whatever it is. But you can walk in the Spirit that fast if you'll train yourself. And part of it means you truly understand that this, having the favor of God, having God for you, having God work thing, having angels minister to you, having the favor of God in business, having the favor of God in every area of life, having healing in your body, having miraculous things happen financially, to have the right relationships, all of that comes as a free gift. And if you try to add anything to it, you diminish it and you slow it down. So what's the wise thing to do? What's the sound-minded thing to do? Forgive yourself extremely quickly and then step right into the spirit realm and say, I'm a perfect being. All right, let's go to 2 Corinthians 2. The 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to start at verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. We do have a war. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons, we have weapons, of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. What's a fortress? Well, the definition is a castle, a stronghold. Anything that somebody relies upon. Now listen to this definition. Of arguments and reasonings by which we dispute endeavors to fortify his opinion or defend it against his opponent. These fortresses that we have that need to be destroyed, Paul's not referring to demonic strongholds in the sky. In this particular place, there's another place he does. In this particular place, I believe what he's saying is we have divinely powerful. And by the way, all these words are like super gulp, you know, big stuff. Extremely powerful. The destruction of these is extremely. It's like wipe it out so it never can be come into existence again. So there's a lot in this language that we don't get just from the English, but it says, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses, arguments, reasonings. Okay, let's go on. We are destroying speculations. Speculations are reasonings and imaginations. We are destroying imaginations, arguments, reasonings, paradigms, and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. There's warfare with demonic strongholds, but this is talking about the warfare that goes on in here. We have strongholds in arguments and reasonings in our heart and in our mind. Again, some of those things I'm referring to is when you think you got to do right and you got to do the right thing. It's the Christian thing. It's, you know, what God requires. And then you got parents and Sunday school teachers and pastors telling you, man, you better do right. How many remember the verses in Deuteronomy? Is it Deuteronomy 28? I think it's where I didn't look it up. But it talks about these blessings will come on you if you do these things. These curses will come on you if you do these things. And there's a list of all the things that you do to be, you know, to have the blessing of God. And then there's a list of all the things that if you do, you'll be cursed of God. And as Christians, a lot of times I've seen people, I've done it, preach on these things. If you'll do these things, you'll be blessed. If you do these things, you're going to be cursed. And when the cross came, it changed all that. It's no longer if you do all these things right, you'll be blessed. It is now if you believe in Jesus Christ, now you will be blessed. It's not doing it right. that gets you blessed. It's not doing it right what gets you powerful. What it is it now, and so if people read that and they put that on themselves, they like, I put it on myself, I did something wrong, I'm going to have to suffer for 3 or 4 more days before I can have the joy of the Lord again. Man, those are all my ideas, not his. The knowledge of God that Paul's talking about is every thought that not is not in line with this thing, that it is a free gift from Christ, and he loves you, and he gives it to you freely, he doesn't withhold anything. That's the knowledge of God, that any thought that is contrary to that needs to be taken captive. It needs to be destroyed. And it's not, you know, we do it by taking that thought and just grabbing that thought. I like to think about it this way. Grabbing that thought, pulling it up close to me. Instead of saying, oh, I shouldn't have that thought, I grab that thought, pull it up close to me and said, this thought has been in my flesh, and right now I'm taking it to Jesus. I'm not going to try. I'm going to take it to Jesus. You know, come here, Leah. It's like she's an evil thought, okay? Doesn't she look like an evil thought? No, I'm just kidding. So I grab her and I start dancing with her. I accept, and man, I had that horrible thought. I had that horrible thought. Oh, man, and I can't just say, oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I shouldn't have done that. I just, no, I'm going to hug her close like this. Yeah. Here, tap on my shoulder. Ah, oh, you got her. Jesus taps and says, I'll take that. Let me deal with that. So it's not that we don't own our mistakes. It's we own them, embrace them, hug them, and then sweetly dance over near Jesus. He taps us on the shoulder and says, I want to cut in. I want to take this mistake. I want to take this evil. You don't need to dance with it anymore. I'll take it. Well, we really don't need to ask, but we know where he takes it, don't we? As far as the east is from the west, he buries it, never to be found again. Instead of trying to figure out how to do everything right, how to forgive everybody, all that, you know, how to, you know, if we would focus in on the spiritual warfare and realize that in our fallen nature, we have reasonings in this mind. We have philosophies. That are not according to the knowledge of God, that Christ himself took all that upon himself. All the blame, all the consequences, everything upon himself on the cross. Once and for all. Aren't you glad that Jesus never has to go to the cross again? I mean, there's people that will, and it, maybe it's okay, but you need to see how what price he paid, I guess. But there's some people who just still weep over Jesus dying for them. And I go, I understand that if you're weeping because you're just so grateful. But you got to understand, Christ did the ultimate suffering, but it's over. He'll never come back. You don't have to feel bad about it now. It's like, you know, when you're talking to Jesus, it's like, man, I'm so glad you did that. But I'm so glad it's done. Never be done again. It's almost like, when you've come out of darkness and you come out of poverty and you come out of all that and you come into your brand new family and it's a luxury, it's everything is beautiful, everything's paid for. It's like, it's time to forget the past. This is our new home. Doesn't matter if your sister called you names when you're little. It's over. Doesn't matter who beat you up, who tormented you. Doesn't matter, this is going to be rough. Doesn't matter how many people you beat up. It's in the past. It's a brand new day. And if you really want to walk in it, you learn, you practice dealing with these thoughts quickly and swiftly. It'll bother your flesh. It'll bother other people's flesh. But it's the truth. We are saved by grace through faith. It is a gift of God. Now you take all that and walk in what the Spirit of God started us off with. Walk out into the world and know who you are. You are literally the salvation for the world because the Savior dwells in you. Well, that's kind of a lot to chew on, I think. You got enough? Want a little bit more fat? It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And I'm going for it. I'm going to learn how to, in a split second, walk in the flesh, split second, walk in the Spirit. It's mine. Father, I thank you. Help us. Holy Spirit, I believe you're really, really bringing us some powerful truth right now that you want us to walk in and we want to walk in. And we confess with our mouth what we believe in our heart, that this new spiritual man that we have inside of us just absolutely is thrilled to do the good works. We're pumped to go everywhere and anywhere in the world and drive out the darkness, destroy the works of the enemy, and set captives free. But you are training us, and I thank you for that. You're training us to get our eyes off our flesh and others and to look and see you, Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, the empower, the Spirit of power, love, and sound-mindedness inside of us. And it really doesn't take eons and years. But if we want to, we can hold on to some of those old natures all of our life. We can hold on to them and just say, well, you know, I've always been this way. Well, you know, I've been this way ever since I was hurt. You know, I've got this fear ever since that happened. We can carry that all the way to the end, and you're still going to love us. But you've already forgiven us, and you've already delivered us. You've already healed us. You've already given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. And by our faith, we can receive all of that right now. It doesn't take days, weeks, centuries. It just takes our faith to say, I believe what you said is true, Jesus. I'm a new creation, perfect. And now, out of that, I'm going to run around the earth doing good, healing, helping, delivering all the people around me. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you for letting us be in your kingdom now, right now. Amen. Amen. Practice this. Do it. Some of you can get rid of things right now today before you walk out of this building that you've been carrying for a long, long time. Yes, you got hurt. Yes, you got a legitimate reason for fear, but you are now a new creation in Christ, and that does not need to walk out with you. You can walk in the Spirit. Amen? It's worth believing. It's worth working on. Love you.